this is Michelle Anderson, and I am here today with Paul LePage, who's running for governor for the state of Maine. We're in Governor's Restaurant on Broadway in Bangor. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Good. Great.
How's the campaign trail?
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Meeting great people.
Yeah. A lot of traveling.
Oh, a lot of traveling.
A lot of wear and tear. Have you broken your car down yet?
Oh, no. It's holding up. It's a good car. We're doing a couple thousand miles a week, so.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. You doing most of the driving?
No. I only drive if, like today, I'm driving. No, normally, it's my wife or one of the campaign people.
Good. So you can take a nap.
Yep. Do some work in the car.
So we've already had our first interview.
Yes.
So you've already explained to me why I want to vote for Paul.
Yeah.
What do you think? So far on the campaign trail, what do you think is the most important issue that people are asking about?
I think the two most important, there are two most important issues that Maine people are very angry on. One is regulatory control. I believe that is number one right now. That is, in my mind, from what I'm hearing from people, that is more important than taxes or the size of government at this point. Although the size of government is very, very important in the areas of DHHS because people believe that the regulatory controls are attacking families, they're attacking businesses, they're attacking nonprofits, they're attacking everyone and anyone in the state of Maine. And we just need to sit back, take a look at our rules, and fix them. The biggest issue I see is the way we pass our bills. We pass our bills in summary form. The governor signs it, then they send it to the agency to write the rules, and then that's where all the problem begins, their unintended consequences. So as governor, I will tell both parties that if you want my signature, it better be in its entirety. Otherwise, I'll veto.
Huh. I didn't know that about the way bills were passed here.
Yeah.
So if it's a DHHS bill, they get to write the rules?
DHHS.
Based on the concept.
That's correct. Education, DHHS, DEP, LURC. They pass the bill, then they send it over. They pass it in broad form, send it over to the agencies. The agencies have public hearings, and then they write the rules. And I just don't believe that a bureaucrat's going to write a rule to put himself out of work.
No, you're probably right.
And that's my issue.
So regulation being number one, and what was number two be?
DHHS.
Okay.
Welfare in the state of Maine. People are tired of just paying, and not seeing any results. And I really believe that the program that's been established in Wisconsin, which I've been touting since September, that we need to adopt here in Maine. Welfare to Work. And I really believe it's a good program, and I believe not solely for shrinking government and improving the system, but more importantly for improving and educating those who are in welfare, particularly those, not so much those that have hit successful and they hit a bump in the road and they need some help. Those people, they never stay on. The ones that are a problem, and a problem to the state, I should say, and to the country, is those that are in generational poverty and haven't been taught how to work, haven't been taught to reach for higher aspirations, have no self-reliance, and therefore they don't know how to do it. And we need to work with them to teach them how to do it. And that's the issue. And we've done it with... In Waterville, we have the clubhouse model, which is working with people with severe mental illness. Many of them have been hospitalized for a great part of their lives. They come out of the hospital, they get stabilized on medication, they come to the clubhouse, we teach them how to live independently, we work with them on living skills, and then we teach them how to find a job and keep a job. We have what is called transition employment. Last year in 2009, 21 people earned $439,000 in earned income. which they had never earned any money in their lives before this. And then now they've expanded from Waterville, and they're now into Augusta called the Capitol Clubhouse. And it's just a great model.
Is that a public-private partnership, or is that totally private? Or
it's actually, it's a public-private partnership. They get a lot of their funds through DHHS, and a lot of citizens volunteer. I've been a volunteer for like 10 years. I'm on a leave of absence now because I'm mayor and running for governor. But it's just wonderful. I've been to Washington. Our company's received a national award. In fact, I was in the Democratic caucus room of Nancy Pelosi, the House of Representatives. And in the opening of my speech, I said, you know, as a small town, a small city Republican mayor, I just feel the love coming from the walls.
You know, I'm much, much, much younger than you. But I know when I was in school.
Much. Now, rub it in.
Maybe about 5 years. But when we were in school, I think they taught the self-reliance and the work ethic right there in the school.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if your parents were on welfare, you still got that basic foundation, I suppose, in school. I mean, it's great that, you know, we can teach third generation people that are already in trouble. But isn't there some way that we can go back to teach people those values?
Well, that's part of the problem in the school system. I mean, we now, through K through 12 in Maine, with the laws that we've put on the books and the regulations we've put on the books, we've made the government the parent. And I think we got to go back to making the parent responsible for their families, and we have to work with the parents. We have a young lady, and I think the world of her. And quite frankly, there's a lot of people in the state that are trapped in the system, but they want to get off the system, but the system won't let them.
Right.
She makes $12.50 an hour. She's been with us several years. She has two kids. She's divorced. She's in her mid-20s, maybe late 20s. And her caseworker in Augusta is working with her to keep her on welfare instead of allowing her to work her way off. But the caseworker's doing her job because those are the regs. She's only allowed to earn X. And if she makes a dollar over X, she loses all her benefits. Well, we need to have a tiered system. We need to have a system where we start at poverty, we go to the living wage, and we have steps. And each time you achieve a step, you don't lose all your benefits, you lose some of your benefits. And we encourage them to earn more and earn more. This young lady has not taken an increase in 2008, did not take an increase in 2009, has not taken an increase in 2010, and she's been forced to call her ex-husband to ask him to reduce her child support from $130 a week to $100 a week, and now instead of working 40 hours, she's down to 25, 26 hours. And that's the problem. We need to address that issue.
Look at the state enabling people at the expense of the taxpayer.
That's exactly what we're doing, and we need to address that issue. And that's one of the major issues I'm going to attack. I've had five basic programs or areas I want to attack. One is I want to introduce the Constitution to Augusta. I think it's been gone for a long time and people forgot that it exists. And I also believe that we need to push back on the federal government because they use the almighty dollar to pay off the states to live by federal rules. Well, the federal government's out of money now, so it's going to be much easier to push back.
What issues might you push back on?
I think education will be one.
Mm-hmm.
I think general assistance will be one.
Mm-hmm.
I think exploring off the coast of Maine, fishing rights. Those are all sovereign rights of the state that they are pushing back and they're buying their way into them. I think we need to start pushing back a little bit. So the Constitution's one. Shrinking government is way, way too big. We can't no longer afford it. It cannot be sustained with the income level the Mainers make. We are about 80% below the federal level, and And on the tax side, we're one of the highest tax communities, so we have to have some equity there. Then is education, DHHS, and of course the regulatory controls I said earlier. So the first two I'm going to attack are the regulatory controls, rewrite some rules and regulations, and we're going to attack DHHS. And hopefully, I have someone in mind for the Department of Education, and this is the person who lives for kids. And so that's what we've lacking in the commissioner in the last 8 years, is someone that's more concerned with personal career than what the job is, and that's educating our kid.
While we're on the subject of education, I'm like you. I left home at a very young age. Not as young as you. I was 14 when I left. And I know when I left, I never gave a second thought to school. Of course, that might be that I was 14. If I got that right, when you left home, did you continue to go to school? Or did you go away and then have somebody bring you back? Or
yeah, let's put it this way. My freshman year in high school, I was an A student. My sophomore year, I was a B student, low B student. Mm-hmm. My junior year, I was a D student. I missed 89 days out of the school year, and they passed me with a D. And I think they passed me with a D primarily because they didn't want me to repeat.
Not again.
Not again. They were trying to rush me through the system. My senior year, I think the lights started to go on, and I decided, this is hard work living on the streets, so you got to do something with yourself. And I had a couple of jobs. I actually had three jobs. I was working a grocery store, I was delivering papers, and working in a restaurant at that time. And so with some of the people that I had met and working with, they started taking an interest in me, and I was living in two homes by that time. By the time I was sharing my living with two different families, and they were very, very helpful in helping me see the light. I was going to quit high school and join the Marine Corps with a friend of mine, but I was underage and I lied, and my foster dad caught on, and he went down and told him that I was not old enough, and so he kicked my butt back to school.
But from 11 until high school, you just...
I just coasted. I was in school occasionally when I...
So you were enrolled and you showed up from time to time.
Yeah, when it was really cold in the winter, I actually went to school so I could warm up. But I just sort of coasted. It was my senior year in high school that the light went on, and through the help of Peter Snow, he really had a big influence on my going on to college, and it's been great ever since. I work, I have a nice roof over my head, and my kids don't have to go through what I went through,
and you picked up all that wisdom, yes.
And I've picked up a little bit of wisdom. I don't know how much I've picked up. But one thing that I have picked up is I have picked up the can-do attitude, because I was told I was not college material. I disproved that. I was told I would never get an MBA, that I should settle for what I had, and I moved on and I got that. I was told it was impossible to get elected in the city of Waterville as a Republican. I conquered that. I was told, well, you'll get in once, maybe you lucked out the first time because there's three candidates, but you'll never get reelected. Well, the second time I won with 70% of the vote, or nearly 70% of the vote. So every time somebody tells me I can't do it, then I just dig deeper
buckle down,
and get it done.
I'm the same way. I understand that.